蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
记得上中学的那阵子，很喜欢听流行歌曲，每天晚上写作业的时候就会塞上耳机，一边听歌一边写题目。可是说不上为什么呢，那些好听的歌曲越听就越觉得空虚，越发是触动了内心深处的孤独感，还有就是非常渴望被人家所爱。不知道你是否也有类似的经历呢？这里是蓝天绿洲的 Heaven Today，我是乐心，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。
You know, in the 1970s, Fortune magazine said only 11 to 20% of the population was regularly or frequently lonely. But by 2010, that number rose to 40 to 50%. Why the dramatic increase in loneliness? We aren't closely bound. We no longer live in the same village for generations, which means we don't have the same generational connections.And this lack of connection can make people feel very lonely.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody for my own. I'm so lonely.
Bobby Vinton.Singing his number one hit song from 1962 that he wrote while serving in the Army. It's a song about missing the connections of home and wanting someone to connect with.
Oh, now I'm a soldier, a lonely soldier, away from home.
It seems the Army has a way of inspiring songs.Elvis Presley recorded Are You Lonesome Tonight in 1960, just after his two-year stint in the military. So many songs about loneliness, and so often they don't offer much hope.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart?
It reminds me of another songwriter, William Cooper. He wrote many hymns that we still sing today, including God Moves in Mysterious Ways. Cooper suffered from depression, and he also felt isolated from friends and even God at times. I asked author Lydia Brownback to tell us briefly how this song reflects the way a Christian should deal with loneliness.
You know, his hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, has always gripped me, Charles. And, you know, I wasn't sure of the origin of what sparked him to pen this hymn, but something deep had to do it. And it conveys all through that he doesn't understand the mysteries of what God is doing, but he trusts. And it's like he's rallying himself before the Lord to say, things may look a certain way, they may look dark,But they're not, because God is at work. He's working in a mysterious way. And I love how he ends his hymn when he says, Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. In depression or loneliness, it's a call to hope, and it's a call to trust. And it's to say, even though we can't understand, when God's ways make no sense, he is still the place to go, the person in whom to trust. And that is our remedy. That's our remedy for loneliness and depression. It's our remedy for every broken place in our lives.
Amen. That's my friend Lydia Brownback, who'll be joining us again later in a few moments. But first, let's open the program now. Haven Today, with Matt Papa's modern rendition of William Cooper's God Moves.In a mysterious way.
God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomed treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him.
Singing the words written by William Cooper in 1774, Matt Papa with God Moves in a Mysterious Way. This is Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris, and we're in a program series this week called One is the Loneliest Number. Before we heard Cooper's hymn, we also heard a little bit from my friend and author Lydia Brownback about Cooper and how he took his loneliness to Jesus. Well, if you marked out one of the key identifiers of Christians, as opposed to non-believers in Jesus, what would that one key identifier be? I would say it's our calling to love others and show that love like in the parable Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. When someone is sick, Christians have historically been there to help. For centuries, it was the Christians who founded educational institutions, but also hospitals around the world. We help others. And we help in the name of Jesus. This week, we've been zeroing in on another issue, and this, too, is a way Christians are there to help. I'm talking about loneliness. I quote John 14:18 often on this program. It applies in so many respects, but these words of Jesus apply to when we are lonely. And if you're going through loneliness today, like I have before and many others in the past, take hold of these words from your Savior. He meant them for you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He spoke these words getting ready for the cross. But much to everyone's surprise in his day, the big miracle was coming. The first Easter, resurrection. I think it's important that Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But then he goes on in John 14 to say, in verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That day he's talking about is the resurrection. And Scripture keeps on teaching the power of the resurrection. Jesus was the first fruit after the cross. If you're living in Christ, you too will join the resurrection that follows the cross. You will not just gain life in Christ now, you will gain eternal life to come. I've already said our series this week is called One is the Loneliest Number. If you are going through a time of loneliness, you feel like you are by yourself. Maybe you feel like nobody cares. And it's very much a matter of feeling, not rational thinking. But your loneliness is real. And more than ever, you need to plead for the true words of your Savior to be true in you now. I will come to you. I am with you. Praise God for the work of the Spirit promised to all who have called on the name of Jesus to be saved. But what role does a Christian have in ministering to the lonely? It could be someone you're close to. It could be somebody you encounter in life, maybe a church. William Cooper was lonely most of his life. He also suffered greatly off and on from depression. The two don't always go together, but they did in his case. Cooper moved to a market town called Alney in England to be under the preaching of John Newton. I'm sure you recall what John Newton was before meeting Christ. He was the captain of a ship that was part of the slave trade. He became a follower of Jesus and never forgot his prior life where he treated fellow humans like chattel. Although the weight of the sin he carried earlier never totally left him, he found grace. He became a minister of the gospel, and there he was, preaching in Alney when the depressed writer Cooper came to town. Cooper was born into the Church of England, but had only recently found his way to personal faith in Jesus. Cooper and Newton became fast friends. Newton, always on fire for the gospel, and Cooper, suffering through long stretches of depression. Cooper also suffered from loneliness. Newton began to pray with him daily. They read Scripture together. He brought Cooper in to help write the lyrics for what became the famous Alney hymnal, the first hymnal containing the words of Newton's Amazing Grace. One of the most memorable times in my life was spent one day in Alney, England. Cooper's house is now a museum, Newton's house on a different street closer to his church, but their back gardens connected. I was so thankful that day when the private owners allowed me to spend a quiet time in what had been Newton's large third-floor study. He could see Cooper's house out one window, his church from another. How could I not think of Amazing Grace that day? But I also thought of his habitual tenderness. He was a rogue in his youth. He was a changed man after meeting Christ. Already the pastor for Haven Today, I couldn't help myself. I prayed in that study that I would spill over with the love of Jesus for others just like Newton.
听着 Charles 的分享，乐心多么希望有一天我也能够去到英国的奥尔尼，看看当年威廉古伯和约翰牛顿住的地方。说起约翰牛顿，我相信你就算是不熟悉他的生平，也一定听过他撰写的诗歌《奇异恩典》。乐心在网上找到了一些他和好友威廉古伯的故事，现在呢，就说给您听听。1764年的5月26号，约翰牛顿协同玛丽搬迁到了奥尔尼居住。在他住宅的门口，他挂上了一块横匾，上面是用耀眼夺目的字记下来了以赛亚书的43章第4节的经文，还有申命记24章18节的经文。这两节经文是在说，因为你在我眼中被看为至宝，所以你受到尊荣。但是要纪念你在埃及做过奴仆，耶和华你的神从那里将你救赎。约翰牛顿日出日入，用这些神的话来提醒自己。他认识到一切都是出于恩典，出乎神奇异的恩典。1772年是约翰牛顿在奥尔尼担任牧职的分水岭。 由于许多年轻人摆上一切在灵命上有追求，这就使得阿尔尼出现了空前的大复兴。在主日崇拜之后，听众们不愿意抽身回家，而是留在教堂里寻求更多的辅导还有帮助。从信徒们的祷告来看，你可以听出他们对神是何等的真诚，没有掺杂着任何的虚假和造作。信徒们的祷告摸着了老船长约翰牛顿的心，当他回到房间里的时候，他受感动泣不成声。在这个充满了主的恩典的一年，福音的果效特别的明显，教会的人数不断的增长，多达2000人。英国各地都听到了约翰牛顿的名声，许多教堂请他去讲道，有的时候一个礼拜约翰牛顿就要讲到12次。与此同时，世界各地许多的读者写信给他，查询他所写的一篇真实的记述这本书当中的有关情节，也包括去向他询问一些翻译还有出版的事项。在英国，一篇真实的记录这本书深入了所有的阶层，许多细胞小组在农村和穷乡僻壤向一些文盲的信徒或是慕道者诵读这本书，而一些自卑的自认为不配的堕落者也从这本书当中认识到神的奇异恩典。有一个律师，他的名字叫威廉·古伯，长期以来他心中没有平安，没有喜乐，他的情绪极其不稳定，他患上了忧郁症，曾经有过3次企图自杀。有一天，威廉·古伯无意当中读到了罗马书的3:25，这节经文说，神设立耶稣做挽回祭，是凭着耶稣的血，借着人的信，要显明神的义，因为他用忍耐的心宽容人先时所犯的罪。这些话打动了约翰·古伯的心，他就接受了主耶稣做他的救主。1765年，威廉·古伯搬迁到了亨丁顿，继续在一位叫做莫里安文的牧师家里来修养他的身体。莫里安文牧师还有师母玛丽安文对人非常的有爱心，夫妇两个人将威廉·古伯视同自己的儿子一般对待。安文夫妇后来就把约翰牛顿的一篇真实的记述这本书给约翰古伯来阅读，当约翰古伯读完之后，他觉得里面的内容是自己感同身受的，于是他也写了一篇文章，讲述了自己如何信主，如何得着奇异的恩典的经过，并且呢就把自己的这篇蒙恩的记述寄给了约翰牛顿看。在1767年7月的时候，约翰牛顿就协同自己的妻子玛丽从阿尔尼到亨丁顿来探访安文牧师一家人，以及来看看这位叫做威廉·古伯的人。当他们到达之后呢，才惊讶地发现莫里安文牧师早在3天之前因为从马背上摔下来伤势严重而离开人世了，留下了寡妇玛丽安文还有女儿，当然还有威廉·古伯。就在1767年的8月，玛丽安文和威廉·古伯就迁居到了阿尔尼。由于威廉·古伯喜欢作诗，就和同一喜好的约翰·牛顿成为了好朋友。约翰·牛顿和威廉·古伯他们都有同样的看法，就是认为必须要打破英国国教的传统，不可以只是限制在教堂崇拜，人们呢也可以在家庭当中有聚会，有敬拜赞美，有交通团契，而且人也不应该受到限制，不应该受到束缚的去传扬福音。不仅如此，两个人还同时觉得英国国教的圣乐束缚了人的思想，那些圣乐实在是呆板沉闷， 让个人觉得有必要要谱写一些新的圣诗，让信徒们来倾诉他们对神的思慕，来表达个人与神的交往经历。1779年，奥尔尼诗集终于问世了。在这部诗集里面呢，一共有348首圣诗，其中约翰牛顿写了280首，威廉古伯写了68首。那么在约翰牛顿所撰写的圣诗当中，最著名的、最有代表性的，也是最能够反映他一生经历的，就是奇异恩典 Amazing Grace。 这首诗是约翰牛顿当他读到《历代志上》17章16到17节的经文时，出于感动，他所写下来的。这句经文说：“耶和华神啊，我是谁？我的家算什么？你竟使我到这地步呢？神啊，这在你眼中还看为小，又应许你仆人的家至于久远。耶和华神啊，你看顾我，好像看顾高贵的人。”约翰牛顿说过，是这个奇异的恩典叫我的心惧怕，也是这个奇异的恩典解除了我的一切惧怕。当我一接受这个救赎的恩典时，我是何等的宝贵这奇异的恩典。1773年的10月，约翰牛顿前往沃克威讲道，突然接到了安文师母寄来的一封令他十分震惊的信件。在信件当中说到了威廉古伯因为抑郁症的复发有自杀的意图，于是约翰牛顿匆匆地赶回了奥尔尼，用神的话语还有弟兄的爱心来劝勉威廉古伯，来抚慰他脆弱的多愁善感的心灵。约翰牛顿开始意识到了威廉古伯作为英国杰出的诗人，有翻译过法国属灵伟人盖恩夫人的许多诗歌，但是即便如此，他仍然需要意识到基督才是他的诗歌和他的喜乐。弟兄们之间也需要有互相关怀，留意这一类情况会再次发生。威廉古伯从死亡线的边缘被挽回之后呢，神的灵再度感动他，他写下了一首非常优美的感人肺腑的圣诗，就是生命圣诗里面的上主作为何等奥秘。好，我们继续听 Charles 的分享。
John Piper describes Newton as strong and durable as a redwood tree and as tender and fragrant as a field of clover, unshakably rugged in the defense and confirmation of the truth. John Newton knew lonelinessNever forgetting those dark days of conviction as his stolen human cargo on the bottom of his ship sailed the lonely seas into slavery. One is the loneliest number. And yet Newton found new life in Christ. For the rest of his life, he felt he was never alone. My calling as a believer was renewed earlier today as I prayed and pored over Psalm 62. Truly, my soul finds rest in God.My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Dear Father in heaven, right now all of us, those of us who count Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, are living either like William Cooper or John Newton. May all of us think like the Apostle Paul, who said, "None of us lives for ourselves alone,And none of us dies for ourselves. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord alone. Lord, for those of us who are lonely, may we find our Jesus with us, never far away. For those of us who are not lonely today, may we reach out and provide comfort to the lonely.May we do that in your name. May we love others more than ourselves, just as Jesus gave up heaven to make that long walk on earth to the cross to set us free, even from our feeling all alone. I pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
孤独是一种神吸引我们靠近他的方式。如果今天你看见了教会的某个弟兄姐妹处于低落、孤独或是抑郁的状态，你是否愿意像约翰牛顿鼓励威廉古伯那样的去帮助他呢？热心祷告的是，你的帮助不是来自自己的力量和方法，而是出于上头的，来自神的智慧和神的能力。这个就是今天蓝天绿洲的全部节目内容了，是我们第四集来分享 One is the longest number。 非常谢谢你的收听，乐心和 Charles 呢就在明天的同一时间与你继续相逢。 Heaven Today， 愿神祝福你，下期时间不见不散。
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and see